السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
أبو عامر،
نعم يا
we can go on, I think.
نعم إن شاء الله.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه أما بعد. Today inshallah we will be continuing with our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah. And our last class, the last two classes, were discussing the fact that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that Ahlul Ma'ruf fi al-akhirah la Ahlul Ma'ruf fi al-dunya hum Ahlul Ma'ruf fi al-akhirah. Ahlul Ma'ruf fi al-dunya hum Ahlul Ma'ruf fi al-akhirah. Those who are kind to people while on the earth, هم أهل المعروف في الآخرة. They will be the same persons that Allah will grant the ability to provide kindness to others on the day of Qiyamah, as if to say from the rewards of being kind if you are a giving person while on the earth. Allah will enable you, forgive you, and make you from among those who will also be beneficial to people on the day of Qiyamah. This hadith was explained. And as if to say, what if the man does not have money to give? The person does not have money to give. He does not have a possession to give. He is so poor, he does not have what to give. How then does such a person fall in the category of those who will be of benefit to other people on the day of Qiyamah? Al-Imam al-Bukhari now brought another chapter heading to answer that question, that inna kulla ma'rufin sadaqa, every kind of goodness has the same rewards or is in the status of a sadaqa in its rewards. Lahu hukmuha fi thawab, kullu ma'rufin lahu hukmu as-sadaqati fi thawab. As if to say that every kind of good deed that you do, because it will also be tremendously rewarded by Allah. So it's as if you are making sadaqah. If you don't have a possession to give, then there are other aspects of good deeds that you can engage yourself and still earn a lot of rewards. So we had, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam telling us in hadith number 224, and the one that follows it, that he encouraged us to give sadaqah alayhi salatu wasalam. So the Muslim, the first thing about him is that he gives sadaqah. He is able to hand out sadaqah. He is able to give something from his excess wealth, maybe from his money, from his clothes, from his shoes, from his food, from the house he lives, from the number of pairs he has, from the number of pencils he has, from his books, from his brain mats, and all other things, whatever you can give to someone else from your possessions. That is from the basic rule about as-sadaqah. Now, if the person is not able for whatever reason to provide material benefit to the next person, the next stage is that ya'malu. Ya'malu biyadihi لِيَنْفَعَ نَفْسَهُ وَيَنْفَعَ غَيْرَهُ. The individual will يَعْمَلُ بِيَدَيْهِ. He will walk with his hand. So if you don't have now, you don't have what by which you can give sadaqah now, you can walk with your hands. You can seek a job. You can seek a job. You walk with your hands, and then you benefit yourself, and then you benefit whomever you find in the position that you need to benefit. So the first is that you have excess wealth and you benefit people from your excess wealth. The second is that you now have, you don't have the wealth at all. You have to work to get the wealth to be able to give benefit to others. And the companions continue to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how about the one who does not find the ability to do that kind of a work to benefit himself and then benefit somebody else? The Prophet said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tu'inu dhal hajati al-mal'uf, tu'inu dhal hajati al-ma'ruf al-mal'uf. The third category is that you physically help somebody. You help the al-hajat al-malhuf. You help someone who has a need. He has a bare need. Al-malhuf. He has a paining need. He has a grieving need. He has a need that brings grief, that brings pain, that brings hardship to him. You go there and provide that help to him. That was why in the Hadith 224 we read the report of Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, wherein the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that وَأَن تُفْرِضَ مِن دَلْوِكَ فِي إِنَاءِ أَخِيكَ أَن تُفْرِضَ مِن دَلْوِكَ. Even when you pour water from your water fetcher, you fetch water in the well, and you pour it in the container of your brother. That also makes some aspects of it. So that you would have helped him. So the first level about earning the rewards of Sadaqah is that you have excess wealth. The second level is that you don't have excess wealth. You work to gain what by which you can give Sadaqah and benefit yourself. If that is not also possible, then you help someone physically. Now, if that is not also possible, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, he said, "Ta'muru bil ma'ruf." Then you encourage someone to do what they do. You don't have excess wealth to provide. You can't work to get something by which you can give the rest of the people as a means of benefit to them. Then you can help somebody physically. If you can't also now help somebody physically, then you can encourage someone to do good deeds. Al-amru bil-ma'ruf, ta'amru bil-ma'ruf. You encourage someone to do good deeds. So these are four things. You have excess wealth to spend. If you don't have excess wealth to spend, then you can work to get something to spend. If you cannot work to get something to spend, then you can help somebody physically and provide physical help, aid, assistance to such a person. If you cannot provide that kind of a help, then ta'amuru bil ma'ruf. You can help somebody, you can tell him, do this, observe salah, observe the surah correctly. You can teach him something from your knowledge. That is the fourth level about providing help and providing sadaqah. And the fifth one, if you cannot do that, you cannot encourage someone to do good. Then the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tadaku an-nasa min ash-sharri, then hold back the people from evil. Don't bring evil to them. So we have five levels. Someone who has a lot of money can take some of his money and give sadaqah. When the person does not have the money, then you can work to get the money to give, second level. The third option, you don't have the money to give from excess wealth, you cannot also work to gain money and then give to the people, then you can help somebody physically. You can help somebody who is upon a difficult job. You can go help him, just as if that, like the example the Prophet himself gave. Someone needed water, you can help him fetch water. He would have done sadaqah. Musa alayhi salam did that. Alayhi salatu wasalam. He helped someone in the position of need to fetch water, and he helped them to get the water to their buckets before they went home. So physically helping people regarding their major needs, also from the aspects of sadaqah. Now you don't have the physical strength to do that. Encourage someone to do what is good. Oh, brother, can you kindly do this well? Oh, sister, is it better for you? Oh, sister, this is okay for you in this land. Oh, this sister, this is not the way to do this. This is the right way to do it. Oh, brother, this is not the right way to do this. This is the right way to do that. Ta'amuru bil ma'ruf. That is the fourth thing. And then fifthly, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, The person who will say, I don't have the knowledge to do al-amru bil ma'ruf. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tad'u an-nasa min ash-sharri. Then you hold back from harming the people. It means holding back from harming the people is also from the aspects of sadaqah, like the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that fa'innaha sadaqatun tasaddaq biha ala nafsi. That's also sadaqah. That's tasaddaq biha ala nafsi. That you give, as if you give that same sadaqah to yourself. So let's not forget. So everybody must have a means of providing benefit to the next person. Sadaqah is not restricted to a person who has excess wealth. Sadaqah is not restricted to a person who has excess wealth. In a further discussion regarding this is the hadith that we shall read, hadith 227 from the hadith of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari regarding this matter. I hope that we are able to keep these five options of earning rewards in our minds. The first one is that you provide from your excess wealth if Allah has given you excess wealth. The second thing is that you work to get the wealth to give in sadaqah if you don't have excess wealth. The third one is that you help a person in need physically, provide physical help, support, aid, and assistance to a person in need. The fourth level is that you encourage what is good. If you cannot do all of this, then don't bring harm to the people. This is the fifth level of providing sadaqah and earning tremendous rewards with Allah in this world and in the hereafter. So in the spirit of all of these that we have discussed, that sadaqah is a means of earning a lot of reward from Allah. You will always find a means to it. So I don't have money, I can't do sadaqah. No, if you don't have money, you can't do sadaqah. Then you can work to get money to do sadaqah. If you can't work to get money to do sadaqah, you help someone in need. If you can't do that, you encourage what is good. If you can't do that, then don't bring harm to the people. In hadith 227, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana Abu Nu'man, qala haddathani Mahdi ibn Maymun, an Wasil Mawla Abi Uyayna, an Yahya ibn Afi, an Yahya ibn Ya'mar, an Abil Aswad Ad-Dili, an Abi Dharr radiyallahu anhu, qala, qila ya Rasulallah, ذهب أهل القصور بالفجور يصلون كما نصلي ويصومون كما نصوم ويتصدقون بفضول أموالهم قال أليس قد جعل الله لكم ما تصدقون إن بكل تصريحة وتحميدة صدقة وبضع أحدكم صدقة قيل في شهوته صدقة قال لو وضع في الحرام أليس كان عليه وزن ذلك إن وضع في الحلال كان له أجر. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله reported this hadith from his Sheikh Abu Nu'man. We read a number of hadith from this Sheikh Abu Nu'man. Abu Nu'man is Al-Hakam ibn Nafis رحمه الله, from amongst the teachers of الإمام البخاري. He is Abu Nu'man al-Hakam ibn Nafis. He said, haddathani Mahdi ibn Maymun. Mahdi ibn Maymun is Sheikh Bukhari, is the Sheikh of Al-Imam al-Bukhari's Sheikh, Abu Nu'man, in this hadith. And he is reporting from Wasil Mawla Abi Uyayna. Wasil Mawla Abi Uyayna. And Wasil Mawla Abi Uyayna is Wasil ibn Muhallab al-Azdi. He is Wasil ibn Muhallab al-Azdi, Mawla Abi Uyayna. And he is reporting from Yahya ibn Aqil. So he said, An Yahya ibn Aqil, An Yahya ibn Ya'mar. Yahya ibn Aqil was reporting from Yahya ibn Ya'mar Yahya ibn Ya'mar was a great scholar of hadith. He was also a great scholar of Lugha Arabiya. He was also a great scholar of Quran. He is Abu Sulaiman al-Basri. Yahya ibn Ya'mar was Abu Sulaiman al-Basri from amongst the students of the Tabi'un, Abu Sulaiman al-Basri. The scholars say, كَانَ مِنْ صُحَاحِ زَمَانِهِ وَأَكْثَرِهِمْ عِلْمًا فِي اللُّغَةِ كَانَ مِنْ صُحَاحِ أَهْلِ زَمَانِهِ. Yahya ibn Ya'mar was from amongst the very eloquent people in his time. وَأَكْثَرِهِمْ عِلْمًا فِي اللُّغَةِ. He was from amongst the most knowledgeable people as well as far as Arabic grammar was concerned. Yahya ibn Ya'mar was from amongst the very eloquent people in his time, and he's from amongst the people who knew the Arabic language in his time. Ma'al war'i shadeed. He was also very, very righteous. Ma'al war'i shadeed. He was also very strongly righteous. Rahimahullah. Al-war'i is someone who regularly keeps away from sins, so much that even things that may be permissible but can lead to sin, they avoid it for the fear of not falling into sin. So scholars, people who are like this, are usually referred to as al-war'i. So that's why he was described to say, ma'al war'i shadeed, ma'al war'i. Actually, he was so strongly avoiding and moving far away from sins. وَكَانَ صَاحِبَ عِلْمٍ بِالْقُرْآنِ. He was also very, very learned in the sciences of the Quran. That was Yahya ibn Ya'mar, rahimahullah. He was reporting from another great scholar of Arabic language, Abu al-Aswad ad-Dili. Abu al-Aswad ad-Dili, some of the people refer to that name as Ad-Du'ali. I'm sure we would have known who Abu al-Aswad Ad-Du'ali is amongst the scholars of Arabic grammar, amongst the scholars of Arabic literature. Abu al-Aswad Ad-Du'ali is also referred to as Ad-Dili or Ad-Di'ili. So these are the ways that word is pronounced. It could be Ad-Dili as it occurs in this isnad. It could also be Ad-Du'ali, Abu al-Aswad Ad-Du'ali. Al-Imam ibn Abd al-Barri al-Namri al-Maliki rahimahullah was talking about Abu al-Aswad Ad-Du'ali. He referred to him and said he is Kana Zadinin, Kana Zadinin wa Aklin. Abu al-Aswad Ad-Du'ali, one of the forefathers, so to speak, or pioneers of the science of Arabic grammar, Nahu, another aspect of Arabic language. Ibn Abd al-Barri said, Kana Zadinin, he is a person of sound deen. Wa Aklin was a person of very, very deep intelligence. Wa Lisanin wa Bayanin, he is a person who knows the Arabic language very well, and he was very, very eloquent in his explanations. You can see Abu al-Aswad Ad-Du'ali is praised for his eloquence. So the eloquence is from the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon his slaves. Ibn Abd al-Barri said, Kana Zadinin, is a person of deen, wa aklin, is a person of intelligence, wa lisanin wa bayan. He knew the language and he gave good explanations and eloquence. Wa fahmin, he had deep understanding of matters. Was a kain. He also has very brilliant intellect. Wa hazmin, he was also known to be someone who was firm. He was firm. He was a person who was very, very firm. That is Abu al-Aswad Ad-Du'ali. He is the tabi'i in this hadith. He is reporting from Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu, Jundub ibn Junada, the eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and one of those who firstly came into Islam. One of those who firstly came to Islam was Abu Dharr al-Ghifari from Banu Nifar رضي الله عنه. He said, كيلا يا رسول الله. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari said that. It was said that, يا رسول الله. O Messenger of Allah. ذهب أهل الدثور بالأجور. ذهب أهل الدثور بالأجور. ذهب أهل الدثور. الدثور is the plural of the word الدثرو. الدثور is the plural of the word الدثرو. And الدثرو is المال الكثير. Ulama say الدثرو is what? المال الكثير. So when you say ذهب أهل الدثور, what you are saying that the people who are tremendously very, very rich, ذهب أهل الدثور. Those who are very, very rich amongst the companions, radiyallahu anhum, there were some of the companions who were very, very rich. One of them was Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiyallahu anhu. He was very rich. Another companion who was rich was Umar, radiyallahu anhu. Another companion who was rich was Abdurrahman ibn Awf. Another companion who was rich was Uthman ibn Affan, radiyallahu anhu. And then others became rich subsequently. There were many of the companions, like Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. He was also very, very rich. When Abdullah ibn Umar also grew up, he grew up and became very, very rich. Likewise, the likes of Amr ibn al-As were very, very rich. The likes of Suhaib al-Rumi were also very, very rich amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, Zubair ibn Awam, the husband of Asma bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq, were people who had a lot of property and land, radiyallahu anhum. They were rich. So some of the companions who were not like that, they were asking the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, ذهب أهل الدثور بالأجور. These rich companions, ذهبوا بالأجور. O Messenger of Allah, he have taken away الأجور. That's the plural of what? الأجر. He have taken away the rewards. Messenger of Allah, the rich people, the stupendously rich ones have taken away the rewards. They have a lot of money. So they've taken away all the rewards. Yusalluna kama nusalli. They pray as we pray. We observe salah. We try to perfect our salah. These rich companions too, who are rich, they also observe the salah. These days, people who are described with richness amongst the Muslims, many of them pray very badly. Many of the rich Muslims today, they pray very badly. And they pay very, very little attention to perfecting their salah. It is not unlawful to be rich. In fact, this hadith shows that to be rich and still worshipful is better than to be worshipful and not rich. To be rich and still worshipful, or to be worshipful and still rich, is better than to be worshipful and not be rich. To combine the two is very, very good. This is why those who didn't have the richness or who are observing the salah, their deen is good. They are nice in their religious dispositions to Allah, but they didn't have money. So they came to complain to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, because they also want rewards. The companions raised in rewards. They looked for one thing they would do like their brother is doing, so that they earn the kind of reward that their brother earned, radiyallahu anhum. So they never stopped at what they were doing. So they observed the salah, they paid their zakawat as they could. They were nice to people, they helped people, they spoke to people, their character was nice. But yet, they were not like those who would do all of these things too and still give from their excess wealth. So they asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ذَهَبَ أَهْلُ الدُّثُورِ بِالْأُجُورِ يُسَلُّونَ كَمَا نُسَلِّي. They pray as we pray. So I like to encourage you Muslims today, if you Allah has blessed, if you have been blessed by Allah with some wealth, don't leave out performing the salah regularly and properly. Don't leave out salah properly and regularly. It will make your wealth an excess virtue for you. that you make your wealth and your spending in the cause of Allah an excess virtue for you, but that you have this wealth and then you are not observing Salah correctly, then that's the problem for you. May Allah protect all of us. These companions said, Messenger of Allah, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq has a lot of wealth. وَيُصَلِّي كَمَا نُصَلِّي. He would pray as we pray. Ibn Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Uthman ibn Affan. All these people who were tremendously rich. Uthman ibn Affan would complete the entire Quran in Qiyamul Layl on one night. Uthman ibn Affan, he would complete the entire Quran standing in Qiyamul Layl on one night, radiallahu anhu. Even on the day that he was martyred, radiallahu anhu, he was reading the Quran. Even on the day that he was martyred, he was reading the Quran. Despite the fact that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would call out that sadaqah for the giving, he would also be amongst the forefront, the forerunners who would come in front to give as much as he could provide, radiallahu anhu. So you saluna kama nusalli. The companions who were rich amongst them, like these ones that we mentioned, like Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas and the rest of them, yusalluna kama nusalli. Those who were not so rich would say that these people are praying as we pray. Wayasumuna kama nasu. They also fast as we fast. If you say, I want my fast to be perfect, the fast of Abdurrahman ibn Awt was perfect. The fasting of Uthman was perfect. The fasting of Abu Bakr was perfect. The fasting of Suhaib al-Rumi was perfect. The fasting of Zubair ibn Awam was perfect. The fasting of Amr ibn al-As was perfect. Radiallahu anhu. Yet, they had excess wealth from which they gave sadaqah. Those who didn't have excess wealth were asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These people took all the rewards. They pray as we pray. They fast as we fast, but they have another thing they do. وَيَتَصَدَّقُونَ بِفُضُولِ أَمْوَالِ. But they give from their excess wealth. We don't have excess wealth, but they have excess wealth. They pray, they give sadaqah, we do that too, they do it. But they give excess from their excess. وَيَتَصَدَّقُونَ بِفُضُولِ أَمْوَالِ. They give sadaqah from the excess of their wealth. And that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, alaysa qad jala allahu lakum ma tasaddaqoon. Alaysa qad jala allahu lakum ma tasaddaqoon. Has Allah not provided you ma tasaddaqoon? That's by which you will earn the rewards of sadaqah. Yes, they have all of these. They have the wealth. They have the money. They give from excess wealth. But you also have a way of doing something that will earn you the kind of rewards that they earn when they give sadaqah. They have excess wealth to give sadaqah. You too, you have things you can do from where you can gain those rewards that they gain when they make sadaqah from their own excess wealth, even though you don't have the excess wealth. But the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَلَيْسَ قَدْ جَالَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ مَا تَصَدَّقُونَ. Has Allah not provided you that by which you can earn the same rewards from sadaqah? And so the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by way of educating those who may not have the wealth and think that, oh, once I don't have money, then I can't have a means of getting the kind of reward people get when they give sadaqah. So when people give sadaqah from their excess wealth, you can earn those rewards they earn from their giving sadaqah. If you don't have the money to give sadaqah, there are other means to earn such rewards. How? What are those means? The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, بِكُلِّ تَصْبِيحَةٍ وَتَحْمِيدَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ بِكُلِّ تَصْبِيحَةٍ. If you say tasbih, if you say subhanallah, for every subhanallah that you make, that is sadaqah. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these people give wealth in sadaqah. You say subhanallah. So when they give 100,000 naira, you don't have the 100,000 naira,
He's saying Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So when they earn a lot of rewards from Sadaqah, you earn a lot of rewards from your saying Subhanallah. But this is not the case with many of us today. You don't have good enough money. You don't have excess wealth to give Sadaqah. Instead of saying Subhanallah, you engage your time on WhatsApp and Facebook. You don't have time to give the Sadaqah to. You end up not saying Tasbihat. So use your time to earn rewards for yourself. So the Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Inna bi kulli tasbihatin wa tahmidatin sadaqah. Likewise, when you say Alhamdulillah, so when you say Subhanallah, you earn rewards. At least in other reports of this hadith, because we remember that this hadith also occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih al-Muslim. And Al-Imam al-Nawawi has placed it under the Arba'un, the 40 hadith that he compiled. There are other things the Prophet mentioned in other riwayat of this hadith, like saying Tahleel, like saying La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, on your own. Sit down somewhere, think about Allah and say La ilaha illallah. Nothing deserves worship. There is no deity deserving of directing our worship towards except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and connect your mind to Allah. When you do this, you say La ilaha illallah. You have earned sadaqah. You have earned the rewards a person will earn when he gave a sadaqah. When you say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. When you are in the traffic, many times brothers will say, oh, we are in traffic in Lagos. Spend the time you are in traffic to earn rewards. Don't engage in frivolous, funny, sometimes useless talks to while away the time. Spend your time usefully. Instead of being in the traffic and engaging in discourses about who did what, about which football match went on, about which political tussle people had, about which insult people insulted themselves on the social media, why not say Subhanallah? Why not say Alhamdulillah? Why not say La ilaha illallah? Because all of these will count for you as from the aspects of as-sadaqah. And then the Prophet said, Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, while he was counting things that make huge rewards for us, just like the rewards of the person who gave sadaqah, the Prophet said, Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, wa budu'u ahadikum sadaqah, wa budu'u ahadikum sadaqah. Budu'u linguistically actually refers to the private area of our families. The private area of a female is usually referred to as what? Budu'u. To meaning that when we approach our wives privately, that is also counted from the things that bring huge rewards to us, just like the reward of a person who gave sadaqah. Look at this deen. When a man approaches his wife, lawful wife, he approaches his wife that he married, it is from the aspects of the things from which he earns rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the companions asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, fi shahwatihi sadaqa, O Messenger of Allah, fi shahwatihi sadaqa, when a man fulfills his desires, will he also gain the kinds of rewards that people gain when they give sadaqah? He is fulfilling his desires. This makes us understand a major point. Some of the people think that when you are righteous, you keep away from women and having private dealings with your wives. People think righteousness is about don't near your wives, don't have sexual relationship with your wife. When you don't do that, then you are righteous. This hadith makes us understand that that mentality is a wrong mentality. When you have something to do with your wives, you are actually making sadaqah. When you have something to do privately with your family, with your wives, it is actually counted as from the aspects of sadaqah. Look at this thing. The man doesn't have money to give, so he comes to his family, he meets her, and then it is counted as sadaqah for him. And when she provides herself to him, it is counted as sadaqah for her also. So the Prophet said, Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, وَبُوضُ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَةً. When each of you comes to his family, it is counted as from the aspects of a sadaqah. So they ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, بِشَهْوَتِهِ صَدَقَةً. Even when a man fulfills his desires, he has sadaqah. This makes us understand that the thinking people have that if you have to be righteous, then you have to leave the things of desires. This hadith makes us understand that when you enjoy the lawful things of desires, when you enjoy lawfully the things of desires, it is counted as from the aspects of worship. From the aspects of worship is enjoying the lawful things of worship, enjoying the lawful things of their desires. And one of them is women. Just like the women too, enjoying your husband's privately is from the aspects of sadaqah. A woman can ask, you have said sadaqah is good, sadaqah is good, sadaqah is good. I'm a housewife and I don't earn any money. How do I give sadaqah? Provide yourself, make yourself available for your husband. When you make yourself available for your husband, it is counted as from the aspects of sadaqah. It does not have to be when you start running around, joining one boat, where coming down from another kumbi and all of these. Be remain at home. Let your husband do that. It is from the duties of the men to do that, to hustle. Some women will say, if you don't hustle, who will hustle for you? You are under a man. The Sharia requires him to do the hustling for you. The hustling and the bustling is from the duties of the man, not yours. Yours is the home. The woman's is the home. Like the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wal mar'atu ra'iyatu. The Prophet said the woman is the shepherd. Two, she's a female shepherd. And bait is the ujiha. Regarding the home of her husband, wa hiya mas'ulatun anhu. She is going to be asked about the home. The home is the place for the woman to earn all her sadaqah. So when she cleans the home, it is sadaqah for her. When she cleans the bed, it is sadaqah for her. When she washes the clothes of the children or her husband and irons their clothes, it is sadaqah for her. When she cooks the food for her husband, it is sadaqah for her. When she takes care of the home and takes care of herself so that her husband meets her well, it is also from the aspects of sadaqah for her. When she speaks nicely to her husband, it is sadaqah for her. When she correctly advises her husband, it is sadaqah for her. When she teaches her children from anything of knowledge and guides them aright, it is sadaqah for her. And then when she provides herself for private dealings with her husband, it is also from the aspects of sadaqah. So in the Sharia, lawful enjoyment of what is from the desires are also from the aspects of worship. From the aspects of worship is that we enjoy those things that are lawful for us. So when the companions ask that question, Fisha, what is sadaqah? Would a man also earn those big rewards for sadaqah, even when he fulfills his desires? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوُوضِيَ فِي الْحَرَامِ. May Allah protect us. لَوُوضِيَ فِي الْحَرَامِ أَلَّيْسَ كَانَ عَلَيْهِ وِذْرًا. لَوُوضِيَ فِي الْحَرَامِ. If a man places himself, may Allah protect us, in haram, in something that is unlawful, when a man commits zina, or a woman commits zina, may Allah protect us. When this kind of a thing happens to a person, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alaysa kana alayhi wizra, will it not be confirmed that he has wizard, he has iniquity on him, he has iniquity, sins on him? The ulama say, radiyallahu anhum, that when the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, keeping away from harm is also sadaqah. This hadith makes it clear. So that when you go to something that is unlawful, you have brought something, you are bringing harm. When a man approaches a woman that is not his wife, he is bringing harm. And keeping away from harming the people is from the aspects of sadaqah. So keeping away from zina itself, may Allah protect each and every one of us, is also from the aspects of sadaqah. When a man keeps away from zina, when a woman keeps away from zina, may Allah protect us, that is also from the aspects of sadaqah. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, law wudiya fil haram. If a man were to place himself in a haram, may Allah protect us. Alaysa kana alayhi wizra. Will it not be that he will have sins on him? Then he went on to say, Zalika wa in wada'aha fil haram. Likewise, if he wa in wada'aha fil halal. Likewise, if he places it in halal, kana lahu lahu ajr. He's placing it in halal and leaving evil. He would have left the people away from evil, and he would have done that which is lawful. So doing that which is lawful, enjoying lawful desires also is from the aspects of it's from the aspects of earning the kind of rewards that we could earn while we give sadaqah. So one easy way, men, one easy way to earn sadaqah. Women, one easy way to earn sadaqah is to engage in private dealings with your wives. When you engage in private dealing with your wives, or you engage in private dealings with your husband, that is also counted from the aspects of sadaqah. The point of reference in the entirety of this chapter, inna kulla ma'ruf in sadaqah, that every kind of goodness is sadaqah, is that nobody should think that he is not in the position to give sadaqah. Sadaqah are of different forms. The sadaqah you give with wealth, the sadaqah you give with physical strength, the sadaqah you give with speech by just making al-amru bil-ma'ruf, the sadaqah you give when you say what is good to people, when you encourage people to do good. Inshallah, I count what I'm doing now as from the aspects of sadaqah. Tell the people to do what is good. It is from the aspects of giving them sadaqah. Likewise, if you cannot do that, famsik an sharri, then keep away from evil. Don't bring harm to the people. Don't hurt the people. Don't bring harm to the people if you cannot benefit them. And when you don't bring harm to the people, it is also counted from the aspects of sadaqah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith 227, he gave us other means, other ways by which we can make sadaqah. And that is by saying tasbih, by saying subhanallah, by saying takbir, by saying Allahu Akbar, by saying tahleel, by saying la ilaha illallah. You are making sadaqah and earning the kinds of huge rewards that a person could earn if he were to have given money out. So no one should say, I can't give sadaqah. I can't give sadaqah. Nobody should say that, because there are various means by which sadaqah may be given. And the Prophet gave us a lot of examples. In the first hadith, we read hadith 224. The Prophet even said that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that wa inna min al ma'roof an talqa akhaka biwajhin talqin. From the aspects of good deeds that will also count as from sadaqah for you is an talqa akhaka biwajhin talqin, is to meet your brother with a countenance that is welcoming. So to smile even to your Muslim brother is from the aspects of sadaqah. So make sure you smile to your wife, smile to your husband, relate with them nicely. All of these things will count for us as from the aspects of sadaqah. So now it will remain that when the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that ahlul ma'ruf fi dunya kum ahlul ma'ruf fil akhirah, the people of goodness and kindness in this world, they will be the same persons who will be from the aspects of the, who will be from the people of goodness and kindness in the hereafter. The door is open to everybody. The door is open. The door is open to us all. That's why he would say, alayhi salatu wasalam, kullu ummati yadkhuluna al-jannah illa man aba. The entirety of my ummah will enter al-jannah except those who refuse. Those who will refuse are those who will not do anything at all. It's like you are refusing. The doors to goodness are wide. To smile is sadaq. When you say subhanallah is sadaq. When you say alhamdulillah is sadaq. When you help somebody is sadaq. When you say do good is sadaq. When you keep away harm from people is sadaq. All of these doors of sadaq are open to you. And then you cannot find anyone to make your complaints are just all about that. I don't have money. I don't have money. How about other means of doing sadaqah and earning huge rewards for yourself before you meet Allah on the day of Qiyamah? So the one, like he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, إنما هي أعمالكم أحصيها لكم ثم أوفيكم إياها. It's just about what we are, each of us does for ourselves. The doors are open. The doors are open. Allah is just recording what you do, and He will reward you with just what you have done. فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا فَلْيَحْمَدُ اللَّهِ. Whoever finds good when he meets Allah on the day of Qiyamah, then he should thank Allah for providing the doors of goodness. وَمَنْ وَجَدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ. Whoever does not find good when he meets Allah on the day of Qiyamah, فَلَا يَلُمَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. He should not blame anybody except himself. Why? Because the doors to goodness and earning huge rewards were open, and they were many. They were many. They are many. We have the opportunity now. We have the opportunity. Smile. Relate well with your family, your wife. Meet her privately. Sexual relations with your wife. You earn rewards. With your husband, you earn rewards. You treat the people well. You talk well. You clean your home. You dust your home. You cook your food. All of these are means of sadaqah. So whoever does not meet Allah with rewards by which he will free himself out of Allah's mercy from the fire of the hell, then that is the person's problem. He should not blame anybody except himself. I think we can quickly move to the next chapter, bismillah. That is Babu Imal Fakil Adha. I hope that the chapter was clear, the last chapter that we read. I hope that that chapter is very clear and the ahadith explained clear, inshallah. And I hope that we understand it. May Allah make us understand better than we try to explain. Al-Imam al-Bukhari followed that chapter with Babu Ima Qatil Adha, the chapter about removing hearts from the road. What is the virtue of removing hearts from the road? From the manners a Muslim must take to is not bringing harm to the people you said that when you don't harm people. Young children. Children, when you don't hurt your mates, it's a sadaqah. When you don't hurt your mates, the rewards of sadaqah will be written down for you. You have it kept for you. Your parents will have the rewards. When you grow up, it will come back into your account. So don't hurt your friends. Don't hurt your mates. Keep away harm from your mates. Young people, keep away harm from your mates. May Allah protect each and every one of us. So the chapter here is about the rewards for Imam Qatil Adha. Going to, you are on the road, you see something that will hurt people, and then you remove that thing from their road. What are the kinds of rewards that you stand to gain? Many times when you are driving, you see something is on the road, you say, this thing is dangerous to any car that comes. You park, you come down, you pick it, you throw it away, and you go back into your vehicle. Of course, when you are safe. So when you do that, what is the reward for you? That is what we'll be discussing in this chapter. Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah has that on the hadith 228. He said, حَدَّثَنَا أَبُو عَاصِمٍ عَنْ أَبَانَ إِبْنُ سَمَعَ عَنْ أَبِي وَازِعٍ جَابِرٍ عَنْ أَبِي بَرْزَةَ الْأَسْلَمِ قَالَ قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ دُلَّنِي عَلَى عَمَلٍ يُدْخِلُنِي الْجَنَّةَ قال أمط الأذى عن طريق الناس. قال أمط الأذى عن طريق الناس. الإمام البخاري reported this hadith from his Sheikh Abu Asim al-Nabi. We remember one of his biggest teachers was Abu Asim al-Nabi, and that is Abdu'l-Haq ibn Makhlad. Abu Asim al-Nabi, he is al-Imam Abdu'l-Haq ibn Makhlad, and Aban ibn Sam'a al-Ansari. Abu Asim al-Nabil is reporting the hadith from Aban ibn Sam'a al-Ansari, rahimahullah, and Abi Wazir. Abu Wazir is Jabir. He is referred to as Jabir al-Rasidi. Jabir al-Rasidi, he is Abu Wazir. He is Jabir al-Rasidi, rahimahullah. He is the tabi'i of this hadith. He is reporting from the eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Abu Barza al-Aslami. Abu Barza al-Aslami was very popular with his kunya. Abu Barza al-Aslami, radiyallahu anhu. His name is Nadla ibn Ubaid. His name is Nadla ibn Ubaid. Qala qultu ya Rasulallah. The companion said, I asked, Ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of Allah, Dullani ala amalin yudkhiluni al-jannah. Dullani ala amalin yudkhiluni al-jannah. O Messenger of Allah, Dullani ala amalin. Guide me to a good deed. Guide me to a good deed. O Messenger of Allah, guide me to a good deed. Yudkhiluni al-jannah. By which and from Allah's favor, I could gain al-jannah. In another report of this hadith, this companion went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said that, O Messenger of Allah, inni la adri la'alli fa'asa. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, innali inni la adri, I wouldn't know, Messenger of Allah, la asa, perhaps, Messenger of Allah. The companion was asking the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He said, fa asa and tamdi, perhaps you may go away, wa abqa ba'dak, and I will remain after you. You may go, fa'asa and tamdi. Perhaps you may go away, you may pass away, Messenger of Allah. Wa abqa ba'dak. And I will remain after you have gone away. Fazawwiduni shay'an yanfa'uni Allahu bihi. Zawwidni shay'an yanfa'uni Allahu bihi. Tell me something. Give me an advice. Yanfa'uni Rabbi bihi. That my Lord will benefit me with. Tell me something. You may die and go now, Messenger of Allah. And Allah keeps me after you. Zawiduni, give me some sort of an advice by which yanfa'uni Allahu bihi. Allah will provide me benefit. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Amitil adha an tariqin nas. That is the counsel of the Prophet. For Abu Barza al-Asli. Remove thoughts from the harm of the, from the road of the Amitil Aza, Amitil, Amitil Aza, Amitil Aza, Antarikin Nas. Remove thoughts, whatever can harm the people, Antarikin Nas, from the road of the people. You're moving on the road as a stone can harm the people. Remove it. It is from the easy deeds of Al Jannah. One of the easy deeds. Like he asked the Prophet here, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, dullani ala amali, guide me to a deed that by which Allah will place me into al-jannah. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remove harm from the road of the people. So you are walking, even if it be in your home, you are in your home, you find something, this thing can hurt people, remove it. Maybe your neighbors, oh, this thing can hurt my neighbor, remove it. Oh, this thing can hurt whoever passes by here. Remove it. Removing hurt from the road of the people is from the aspects of the deeds of al-jannah. It's a small deed. One of the scholars, rahimahullah, al-imam Fadlullah al-Jilani, rahimahullah, said this is a small deed, truly, but the rewards are tremendous. Small, little job, something little. But the reward is huge. Very huge rewards. What is it? When you move on the road, you find something that can hurt the people and bring harm to them, you remove it. Whatever you find on the road that can bring harm to the people, you remove it. You move on the road, whatever you find, this thing can bring harm to people, you remove it. It is from the deeds of al-jannah. But let's not forget in all of what we have said, innama al-a'malu binniyat, deeds are rewarded according to our intentions. So we must not forget to intend to the worshiping Allah and all of these deeds. That is when it will be counted as worship for us. When we do all of these deeds, our minds must be connected to the fact that these deeds are good deeds. One of the ulama, like we said, he says, khayrun qalilun yahsulu bihi kathirul ajri. Khayrun qalilun, one small good deed. Yahsulu bihi kathirul ajr, by which huge rewards will be accumulated. You accumulate good, huge rewards. You move on the road, and then you remove evil from the road of the people. Then it means it's also a huge sin when you bring hearts to the road of the people. Those who dump refuse in the road of the people. Those who urinate in the road of the people. Those who defecate in the road of the people. Those who bring hearts. One of the scholars even said that those who park their cars in the road of the people fall in the category. The opposite of this, that one major sin is that you park your car on the road of the people. One of those who said that was Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Husayni. He said, moving your car, bring your car to the road of the people. In a manner you know it will bring inconvenience to them. It is from the aspects of bringing hearts to the road of the people. When the good deed is that you should remove parts from the road of the people. So don't bring harm to the road of the people. And if we draw it a little further, driving on a one-way will come in this category. The road is a one-way road. And then you drive in the opposite of the one-way. It is from the aspects of bringing harm to the people. I know a brother who died from this. A brother was crossing the road. The road is one-way. The road is one way. He didn't look at the other side because no car was supposed to come from that way. He was hit down by that car. He became paralyzed from his neck to the feet. He died shortly, I think a month or so after that, after a lot of spendings on him. He died because a vehicle was running on the single lane where it was not supposed to even come at all. All of these things are acts of sins. A Muslim should not drive on a single lane that is a one-way. Don't drive on a one-way. Why? If you drive on a one-way, you are bringing harm to the road of the people. And it is not lawful for a Muslim to bring harm to the road of the people. Likewise, when you drive, you are driving on a double lane and you are crossing the lane. Cross, go here, come here, go there. So much that people become tired of you. Everybody is worried. Why are you going to and fro? Don't drive in a way that you become a nuisance to the rest of the drivers. Don't drive in a way that you become a nuisance to the rest of the drivers. From the aspects of bringing harm to the road of the people is to drive in such a way that you become a nuisance to them on the road. So whatever is a nuisance, take it away from the people. When you do that, you are also giving sadaqah and your rewards are recorded with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think it will be sufficient for us to stop here today. We'll be continuing this chapter about reading the rest of the ahadith about removing harm from the road of the people. So you can see that if we follow the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, life will be good for everybody. Many of the laws that are set may not even be there at all. If the commitment is to the sunnah. So when someone says, we don't like sunnah. If someone says that, these are the things that they are saying that they don't like, even though they don't understand what they are saying. Many of the people who have shown hatred for the sunnah of the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, it is because they are likely ignorant of all of these goodness that the sunnah contains. If everybody follows the sunnah, will we have bandits killing people? We really have people taking the lives of people when it is unlawful to bring harm to the road of the people. Will the people now themselves become harm on the road itself? So you see, we need to go back to our religion. We need to go back to Islam. We need to go back to the Sunnah. We need to go back to the ways of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us understand what we have said better than we have tried to explain it. I hope that Abu Yusuf has a few questions we can attend this morning before we call it a day, inshallah. Abu Yusuf. Ameen wa antum fa jazakum Allahu khair.
Bayyad Allahu wa iyyakum.
Ameen, ameen wa iyyakum.
Question reads, may Allah honor you, our Sheikh. Are sadaqa only restricted to only people of our faith?
Is sadaqah restricted to Muslims alone? No, we had read a hadith about that. The sadaqah is not restricted to Muslims alone. Look at it. If you remove harm from the road of the people, that's not restricted to the Muslims alone. If you hold back harm from people. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, tada'u an-nas min ash-sharri. Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, tada'u an-nas min ash-sharri. You hold back the people from evil. Don't bring evil to the people. Tada'u an-nas. This is nas. It is not restricted to the Muslims. So tada'u an-nas min ash-sharri. You remove harm from the people. So this is general. We dread other ahadith to even the animals, the lower animals. We will be kind to them. It's also from the aspects of sadaqah. We remember that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very angry when a person was punishing a camel so much that the nose was bleeding, was exhuming smoke. So sadaqah is not restricted. Is not restricted to the Muslim. Even though we should not give sadaqah to a non-Muslim, we should not give sadaqah to a non-Muslim or even a sinful Muslim in a manner that will help them upon their sinfulness. Don't give sadaqah to a non-Muslim. When you know that when you give him the money, he's taking it to the church. Many of the Christians are so dedicated to their churches. Even Davido is dedicated to his church. May Allah protect us all. This is where the Muslims, only Allah knows what we do with our minds. These people, as funny as we have seen them in the society, they did not forget their churches. But the Muslims, in the masjid, when we go on the day of Jum'ah, we hardly give anything out to the masjid for maintenance. When we do, we behave as if we are already gods ourselves. May Allah protect us. So don't give a sadaqah to a non-Muslim when you know that he will employ that sadaqah to propagate sin. Don't give money to Davido. Don't give money to him because he will not do anything with your money except to propagate sin. And it will popularize him further, give him more feathers to continue upon whatever evil we know these people are upon. The society realizes what they are upon. So may Allah protect us. So don't give your money to a Muslim when you know that giving money to him will help him propagate evil. Not to even say a non-Muslim when it is clear to you that when you give him money, it will help him strengthen him up on disbelief to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't do that. But a person needs help. The man cannot find food to eat. He's a non-Muslim and you have food to eat. You can provide him food to eat. You can provide him food to eat. You can do that to a lower animal, not to say a human being. I hope that this response is clear about Yusuf.
Can one get reward in those acts mentioned in this of the intention was not to get reward?
If you don't have the intention for the rewards, there are no rewards. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ مْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. You must intend to earn rewards with it from Allah. You must reward, you must intend to get the rewards from Allah. If there is no intention for rewards, then there are no rewards. You must intend by all your good deeds. You must intend to have rewards. A Muslim who does good deeds must intend to gain rewards from them. A Muslim who does good deeds must intend to gain rewards from them. If he or she does not intend to gain the rewards of Allah with them, then there are no rewards. You must intend to be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us the rewards of good deeds. I hope that it is clear by Yusuf.
Another one says, what about if man wants you to work to the family? Making you not be able to do Besides, the man allocates feeding of the house to you, including buying some other things at home. What do we do?
The question is not clear, but Yusuf, can you come again?
No, it's from a woman. What if the man wants to work as a woman to support them? Besides, the man allocates feeding of the house to you, including buying some other things at home. What do we do?
Well, it is not lawful in the first place for a man to allocate responsibilities at home to his wife. Men, what makes you a man as far as Islam is concerned is that you provide the needs of your home. Men, you pay your bills. Men, pay your bills. This is your duty. Pay your bills, oh man. Islam orders you to pay your bills. Allah says, وَعَلَى الْمَوْلُودِ لَهُ رِزْكُهُنَّ وَكِسْوَتُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. The one to whom children is giving birth to, for. Women give birth to children for you. So that refers to the men, the husbands. عَلَيْهِ كِسْوَتُهُنَّ. You have the duty to provide the wares for the women. وَرِزْكُهُنَّ رِزْكُهُنَّ رِزْكُ is mufrad, and it is mubaf, meaning the needs of the woman, بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, in a nice manner, in an acceptable manner. So, oh man, don't shelve your duties to your wives. So these men who will want their wives fed at home, will they go back and wives sweeping with their wives? And Can you hear me now, Abba Yusuf? Now, I'm saying that it is not lawful for a man to shove the duties of providing the needs of the home to the wife. Don't make your wife a partner in the expenses of the home. It's the duty you have in your home to care for your home, and Allah will ask you about it. He says, وَعَلَى الْمَوْلُودِ لَهُ رِزْكُهُنَّ وَكِسْوَتُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. You demand that women bear children for. It's a duty upon you, kiswatuhunna, to provide their clothing, rizkuhunna first, and their needs, their rizq. It's a duty upon the man. That's what makes you a man as far as the Sharia is concerned. No man should shelve the responsibility of provisions in the house to the wife. You provide her her clothing, you provide her food, you provide her accommodation, you take care of her children, you are nice to her, you do what is right for her. Her own duty is now to take care of the home. Don't share the duties of home upkeep with your wife. Don't share it with your wife. It's your duty, oh man. Pick up their responsibility. Many of the men, in the evening yesterday, I was talking to some of the women, and I said to them that it's unfortunate that these days, even when a man separates from a woman, he leaves her to the upkeep of the children they both had. This is an act of sin. It's an act of sin for a man to divorce a woman and leave that woman with the upkeep of the children. It's an act of sin upon you. It may be the reason why you may have to spend time in the fire on the day of Qiyamah. It's a big sin. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, kafa lil mar'i isman an yudhi'a man ya'uluhu. It is sufficient sin for a man to abandon the people who are dependent upon him. It's sufficient sin for a man to leave his children to a woman just because he divorced that woman. It is sin upon you. Don't leave those children to that poor woman. Don't leave the children. You have the duty to feed your children that she bore for you. You have the duty to provide food, to provide clothes, pay their fees, and accommodate them. You have that duty, whether those children are under your roof or the woman got divorced from you and then she left you. You have that duty. Many of the Muslim children are on the streets today because of this kind of a level of irresponsibility from the Muslim men. Men, stand up to your responsibilities. I think that that's sufficient regarding this, Abba Yusuf. We can come back to class tomorrow, inshallah. Ameen, ameen.
There's a question that says, if a woman is keeping, if a divorce is child away from the husband, should he still continue to take care of the child?
Yes, whether the woman is keeping the child away from you or not, that does not stop you from fulfilling the rights of being a father over that child. That right is not connected to whether that woman makes you see the child or not. That she takes the child away from you is another sin upon her. So women, be careful too. Don't take away the men's children from them. Give the men the opportunity to meet with their children. Don't be a wicked woman. You are becoming wicked from two angles if you take a child away from the parents, from her father or his father. You are being wicked regarding that child. You are being careless about how does that little boy or girl feel about having a father. Do you think that the child is convenient with just having a mother alone? You don't know that the child also has a feelings and inclinations towards her father or his father. So you are becoming wicked towards the child, and you are becoming wicked also towards your ex-husband. So women should be careful. Don't take your children away from their husbands. And men too, fear Allah. Don't reject and abandon the duties of upkeep to the women alone. If you do so, if men do these things and women do what they are doing, they should be sure that there will be trouble for them on the day of Qiyamah unless Allah forgives them out of His mercy. I hope that we can conveniently stop here, Abba Yusuf. Ameen, ameen, wa iyyakum, Abba Yusuf. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.